Okay, everyone, this call is being recorded. Welcome to the Blog Mastermind question and answer session, the first one in November of 2008. As always, this call is being recorded, so if you do not want your name to be mentioned on this, use a fake name, or of course, if you're really worried, don't ask a question, but that would really defeat the purpose of these calls, so don't be shy. These will be redistributed to the members of the program, though, so just be aware of that before you ask any questions. And as I said prior, if you want to ask a question, just press *9, and you can do that right now, and we'll jump straight into the first caller. And one other thing I need to apologize for, if there's any lag during this call, I am calling through on Skype, which is not the usual way I do this because normally I use a landline telephone, which is a bit more stable, but just for this one time, I'm in Amsterdam and I don't have a normal telephone. Bit of poor planning on my part, but if you have any questions, just press *9 and hopefully we'll see your hand go up and I will unmute your line. Not seeing anyone yet. May just take a couple of seconds to register your question. Nope, not seeing any callers with that hand. I'm just wondering though if that's a control panel issue. I'm just going to unmute. Sorry about this, folks. I'm just not seeing any. I'm just wondering whether the control panel is not registering your *9. All right, we'll try that now, people. I think I've got this right. If you press *9 now, your hand should raise on my control panel, and then we can start this session properly. That's better. Okay, now we're rolling. Here we go.
Hi, Yaro. Originally it said it we couldn't use *9, but anyway, it's working now.
Yeah, my fault.
No problem. I have a service company. I do heating and air conditioning, and I'd like to use a blog to promote my services. And one of my problems is I just obtain too much information. So I've got all this information and I just end up not knowing where to start and where to get started. And I keep buying stuff. And I believe there's thousands and thousands of people that have the same problem. And so I don't have any production. I've got resources and no production. So my question is, how can I just get started, get something going and move forward? I like to use videos to present my case on the services I have to offer. And I have other products. I go to a lot of trade shows, so I have merchandise, jewelry, et cetera, that I'd like to make other blogs and promote my services, and particularly with the holidays coming up, make some money. That's my question.
Can you just repeat part of that question? We had a little issue with the moderator saying something. Can you just give us the gist of it again there? Sorry about that.
No, that's not a problem. I have information overload. I obtain too much information and I don't have any production and I need to turn that around.
Okay.
So I have all kinds of resources and no production. I'm an air conditioning contractor. I like to present my services, but I also attend a lot of wholesale trade shows. And so I have jewelry and other products that I'd like to make other blogs for to present. And I'm looking at also a membership driven blog so that now people can join, become a member and then get access to.
Okay.
Services.
Do you have any existing means to communicate with potential customers?
Yes. You mean as far as marketing?
Yeah, an existing email list, an existing website, anything like that?
No, I'd like to start a list and move forward on that, but I haven't been obtaining lists. I have phone numbers for customers, my clients, that I can follow up and send them. What I'd like to do is, let's say, put together a webinar and then point people there, for some of my clients, and then move them from there to the website.
Okay.
I haven't really seen anybody use webinars for promoting services. Everybody's selling ebooks and everything else. I'd like to say this is the benefit of having the tune-up on your air conditioner. Here's some pictures. Get service.
Okay. No, fantastic. It sounds like you've got the business structure that's ready to deliver services. You just need to get the marketing going to begin with. So, you know, you're in a program here about blogging. Obviously, the first thing you need to do is get a blog out there, get some fundamental content onto that blog. I would almost, you know, stop studying anything else that might be taking away your time and start producing those blogs to start building the lists, so that when you do something like a webinar, you already have this existing way to communicate with these people who are interested in what you're doing and tell them about the webinar you're going to do and then promote your services. So, you know, I guess you're in a typical situation where you have the capacity to deliver value. You just don't have a means to tell people about that yet. You need to build, you know, I call them channels of communication. So, I mean, set up a blog. I'm surprised you haven't done that already, given that you're in Blog Mastermind. So.
Right. But part of it is I'm running around still doing air conditioning work, which I'm, you know, but the focus is I just have to do it. You know, it's the problem.
Okay.
I keep looking at something else and looking at something else.
Well, stop doing that, for starters. You know, you've got some information in front of you with Blog Mastermind. There's enough there to get a blog set up. And, you know, if you don't want to do this yourself, the first lesson tells you to go out there and get someone to outsource this, you know, setting up a blog, setting up of the email list. And you can still be going out there and delivering your services and you know, running your business while they're setting up the technology. And then, you know, your only role might be content creation, since, you know, you are the service provider. You have the knowledge and expertise. But even that can be made a simple process. You could just have, you know, someone who you speak to and do an interview with, and they translate that into content for your blog or, you know, wherever you, through your email list or whatever. But the most important thing here is you've got to stop consuming and start producing. And you just said that at the beginning of this call. So, you know, that's the answer right there. Take every second you're doing now that might be studying and start building a means to communicate with your prospects so that you can start selling your services. And wherever possible, find ways to get efficiencies with your current business so that you can get the time to do these things. Because it does take, you know, some time, and obviously you have to get your business going at the same time.
Thank you, sir. I thank you.
No problem. Now, feel free to ask another question, though. I've got a few other hands up, but okay. We'll roll through them all.
Thank you, sir.
All right, moving on to next one.
Hey, Yara, it's Mitch. Found out that on my blog I had a problem where I had a technical glitch that happened about 2 months ago, and 187 pages of content weren't indexed with Google. How do I resubmit that? It's like I've been maintaining traffic and building traffic, but most of that, it looks like, has been coming through the social bookmarking and things of that nature. So I'm like, I'm off to 5,000 hits a day, but it's like none of it is coming from Google because they're not picking up any of my stuff. So now I have that problem fixed. Will they come back and scan my site? Or do I need to call them? Or, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, my tech guy almost passed out when he saw my traffic and then realized that I wasn't getting any of it from the search engines. So he seems to think I should be able to get a tremendous amount more. Things are crazy, by the way. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, thanks so much, but my life has changed. I wasn't ready for this.
And you're doing most of the work, Mitch. But if you ever get a direct line to Google, you know, you let me know, because I don't know how many people who can get a direct phone line to the person they want at Google. But to answer your question, I don't think you have any problems with getting that content reindexed. If the fact that your blog gets so much traffic means Google knows about it, you've got all those incoming links you built up from that guest writing you've been doing. What will happen? The only thing that you need to maybe worry about is make sure you've got that sitemap there, and you've got an internal linking structure that, you know, that old content is linked to from active content that is in the search engine. And what Google's little bot should do is follow the links inside your website, find that content that wasn't there prior. It'll index it. This might take weeks, and then it'll start appearing in the search results where it should. The nature of the beast, though, is it's kind of random. If you're really concerned about it, like, you know, if you've done everything you think you need to do, you've got your sitemap and you've got the internal linking structure, you know, your posts are showing up in those next and previous buttons at the bottom of your blog, then the only avenue you have beyond that is going to the webmaster tools within Google, and you can submit a query there about possible, you know, reindexing of content. But I wouldn't get your hopes up about that getting the result you want.
All right. So you say that my chance. So I should maybe go back and, like, some of those old Pillar articles and stuff that I've written over time, just like talk about them just briefly for a sentence current articles. Or
that's forcing the issue. Yeah, certainly.
I got no problem forcing the issue.
I don't know if that's necessarily going to expedite things, but you're certainly increasing the chances just because you're putting a fresh link on fresh content. I personally would wait and see, like, just, you know, do some searches for the headlines of the articles you think are not included, like over the next week or so, and see if they start showing up. And that should, you know, give you an idea of what's happening, and then do a test. Write an article, link to one of those old articles, and see if it shows up, and then you'll at least know what's going on.
All right. I was just shocked to find that out, because it's like, it's every week, you know, it's going up and up and up and up, and it's like, I was just shocked, you know?
No problems. All right, Mitch, I'm going to move on. I've got quite a few hands up, so.
Hey, Yaro, this is Frank from Florida.
Hey, Frank from Florida.
I just joined your blog mastermind, and one of the questions I had was, when you did your blog mastermind, the blueprint ebook that you made,
mm-hmm.
when did you roll that out on your site?
I initially released that about, I think it was around a week. Well, you could actually go to my blog and find the exact post. It would have the date on it. But in terms of the sequence, it was about a week before the actual release of the, you know, Blog Mastermind 1.0, the first time the program was released. And that was July, I think, of 2007, so a little over a year ago. And you know, I don't know you're probably not on the membership site mastermind program. I pretty much detail that whole launch sequence quite to some extent in that program through the videos I have there. But really, it's a case of, you know, release this free information, release some emails to talk about, you know, what you're doing and how you're going to benefit people, and then open the door to your program. So that's a very compact explanation of the whole launch sequence. But is there a particular reason why you're asking that? Do you have your own launch plan?
Well, no, I'm going live with my blog next week, and I was finishing up I'm creating an ebook, which I didn't know the timing, you know, when I should release it onto the blog itself, as far as capturing, you know, creating my email list from the get-go.
Okay, well, bear in mind, my email list when it first came out had nothing to do with the blueprint. I actually released a blog traffic tips newsletter, which simply said you're going to get emails, newsletters about building traffic to your blog. That was the very first email newsletter I had a little bit more than a year into blogging. That's too slow, in my opinion. That was just simply the learning process I was going through at the time, and there wasn't information out there to tell me, you know, how to put an email list and when I should do it. So nowadays, you know, if you have the technical capabilities, get that list up there as soon as you can is my advice.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate it.
No problem, Frank. Next caller, you should have been activated. Hello, I think it's a Skype caller or a phone call. Yes.
Oh, okay. Hi, this is my name is Jim, and my wife and I, Christine, have started a blog about houses, House Talkers, it's called. We're into about lesson four of your program, finding it very helpful. I have a question on one of the plugins, the title tag plugin.
Right.
And I just want to clarify, I can see how to use it. I have it all set up, and it's very straightforward to use. The create on the site, the website of the plugin's creator, they suggest using it by doing catchy post titles, but then using the plugin to put in more descriptive titles for the title bar. And I just wanted to clarify with you your recommended use of the plugin.
Pretty much the same thing. I will occasionally deviate in the sense that what I write as the title of the article will be different to how I give the permalink for the article, and also what I put in the title tags. Now that confused people, but obviously you've got the headline for the article, you've got what goes in the bar across the browser that describes the article, and then you've got the linking, the permalink link you name the blog, the blog post. Now, you know, sometimes you want to force a certain keyword to be earlier in the title tag or earlier during the link, or maybe the name of the article is so long that it's too long as a permalink. So that's when I'll change things. But, you know, you can get just carried away with this and try and oh, there's so much. Having a margin difference. What's important is, A, you're getting a headline that encourages the person to read the article. Above and beyond, that should be the number one concern. Two, you can think of a keyword or a keyword phrase that is the most likely to, you know, be searched for to find the type of article you've just written, and use that in the title. And you could force that with that plugin and with the permalink structure as well. And that will just mean that when Google indexes that content, it'll see that keyword before anything else is the name of that article, and that can help it rank better in the search engines for that keyword phrase. And you can use something like Google's keyword tool to even figure out what are the most important keyword phrases to do that. As a case in point, right now, if you went to my blog, you'd see an article I wrote about 7 tips for traveling with a business. Now, I also wanted that article to rank well for, you know, 4-hour work week. So I went to Google's keyword tool, typed in 4-hour work in various ways, because I wanted to find out what was the most common search phrase to search for that book. And people don't know that's Tim Ferriss's book. It's on a very similar subject of, you know, working only 4 hours a week and making a living and traveling and so forth. So in this case, I used it in the tagging structure, and I put the spelling of 4-hour work week, which was getting the most searches according to Google. So that's the sort of thing you can do to play around with this. It's not going to make a huge difference. Like what I just did then is not going to be you know, massive difference, but you do it enough times and it does, you know, add up.
And just a final point on that, you always put in the title tag the name of the blog after the descriptive title.
I have my blog default to go that way, so it goes article title first, then blog name. That's usually the convention because, you know, you don't want to have every article be the name of your blog as the first keywords that the search engine see. So that it should be dynamic and represent whatever article it's showing.
Okay. Well, that clarifies it. Thank you.
No problem. All right, moving on to the next caller.
Hey, Yaro.
Hello.
How you doing? This is Kansas Simmons from Atlanta.
Hi, Kansas. How are you?
I'm doing great. I run an academic success blog, and it's at playingyouragame.com, playingyouragame.com. And one of the things that I wanted to do, I noticed that on your entrepreneursjourney.com website, you have your daily post or whatever, but you have certain pages set up where you have your about page, articles, podcasts, reviews, forums. How can you automate, it seems as though you're using your articles, your podcast, and your reviews, you setting those pages up by using your category. So you may write a blog post, give it a certain category, and then under that page articles, those blogs pop up.
Right. Yeah, this is something that your technical person would have to do. I didn't set that up myself. It's beyond my technical ability. But essentially, all I've asked in how my blog is structured is I can tick a certain type of category, and it will by default then be listed as you know, the most recent article under that sub link in my navigation structure. So if I write a pillar article that I think is the kind of article that I want to have permanently exist in my articles archive page, which is the page you go to when you click the articles tab in my navigation bar. Right. And these are the articles which I think are, you know, really are pillars. They have more long-lasting value, and you know, they're pillars. I will tick the box that will say this is a pillar article under the category of, you know, home business tips, whatever, and then it'll go there and it'll be listed in the sidebar under that category, and also as, you know, whatever the most recent posts are will be listed there. That was something I had my web developer do for me when I did the most recent redesign of that blog. I believe there are plugins that can get you to do something similar. I'm not sure it will be quite as customized as what I have. You could possibly have it list the most recent articles from a category within your natural blog structure within WordPress, but it's not going to do it quite to the, you know, the style I've got it there. But if you grab a tech person, say, I want what Yarrow's got, and hopefully they can do it, just explain it to them.
Okay. I just want to let you know that I am in my eighth week in your blog mastermind class, and man, it is great. It really is. And I appreciate everything that you're doing for us.
Thank you. I'm glad you're getting value from it, Cassis.
Thanks.
No problem. Okay, we're moving on. It's a full room today. I have this sad feeling that we've actually probably blocked a few people because of capacity issues, but hopefully we'll try and... Hello, who's this?
This is Darla from Toronto, Canada.
Hi, Darla.
Hi, I'm fine. I've been in the program now. It's 3 weeks. I think I'm in my fourth week. And I'm the one with two blogs on Blogger, and I've decided what I am, and they call me Worrywart on the, that's my username on one of the forums.
Right.
What I decided to do is, I have one blog on international financial reporting I use to get consulting. I'm going to leave that alone for a moment. And the other one on hats, I've already set up the site as you recommend, and I'm going to do WordPress on that. And I've got Joel. I think it's Joel, his name is, blog tech guy,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I'm going to get him to do the tech for me. Would you, in structuring this agreement, would you have like a monthly arrangement with these people, or do you just do it as you need it, Joel?
My outsources are all on per hour basis, simply mm-hmm. because the amount of work I have fluctuates a lot. I don't know what I'm going to have each given week. I think most people in this program are probably in the same boat. They might have, you know, something 1 week that takes 10 hours and then nothing for the next few weeks, or maybe, you know, half hour tweaks here and there. That's why I think an hourly relationship is good. I think Joel, though, has some kind of packages where you can pay a fee and that gets you a certain number of hours on a regular basis. You know, that's great if you do know you're going to need that. You know, you're going through the program, there's plugins you're going to need to get going.
Right.
You know, you might need to get your newsletter into your blog design or anything like that. Those things take time, certainly from the early days. You know, the getting your blog to a certain point is when you generally need the most tech support. And then over time, all you're doing is posting new articles. You're sort of, you know, you're done with plugins, you're done with your design elements, and you're focusing on marketing and content. So I'm more inclined to say, you know, go through the early lessons, and, you know, once you get up to lesson 8, I think you've probably been through most of the required plugins and design elements. Everything I talk about after that is optional, certainly helpful, beneficial, but optional. And you could have a person like Joel standing by and say, you know, I might have this in the future, but I don't know. And, you know, my guy, Phil's his name. He charged me an hourly rate. I got him on Skype whenever I need something. Phil, hi, help, need to get this, do this. He'll do it, and he'll invoice me every fortnight, and that's how we work.
Fine. Just one other supplementary question. What do you think about the thesis template?
I have not used it, but I've heard lots of good things, and the fact that Brian Clark is behind it and Darren Rouse has endorsed it, I've actually been asked to review it by Brian, but I just have been traveling around the world, so it's been hard to do that. But I'm pretty sure it's very good. The two guys behind it, Brian and Chris, they do great work. They've been doing great work for a long time, so I know that that's a great theme.
Okay, great. Jake Grubb, I mean, really enjoying the course, and I've been telling a lot of people about it. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you very
much,
Darla.
Bye.
All right, moving on, people. I'm not sure if I'm seeing any hands up. You guys are lucky. As I was saying before, the room has filled up. a little bit more demand than usual, I think, because of the new students. And I will try and get to Nexus capacity for this. But the lines are open. If you want to ask a question, just press *9 on your Skype pad or your phone line, and I will see a little hand raised, and I'll unmute your line, and you'll be able to ask a question. So, all right.
Hi, Yarrow. This is Kim from Chicago.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. This is Kim from Chicago. I have established a blog already. I've been a business owner for 7 years, and I'm a writer. And what I've been seeking to do for a long time, and how I found your course, which I'm loving, by the way, is that I wanted to find a way to generate a passive income stream so that I could continue doing similar to what you're doing, is traveling and meeting with people and sharing some acquired knowledge that I've gotten over the years about marketing and small business website design and just entrepreneurism in general. So what I've done is I've set up my blog, and I just want to make sure I'm pointing everything in the right direction, first of all. I've tried to post as regularly as possible, and I'm building up to doing at least a post a day. I'm trying to backlog some pillar articles and some general articles. And I have seen people start to subscribe to me on the feed burner. I'm also working, I've been an Amazon associate for a long time. I love to read, and I love to recommend books to other people. So I've been incorporating those books into my posts, and I also work through Commission Junction in the sidebar for various productivity tools that small business owners and entrepreneurs could use. My question to you is, first of all, do you know, are there any other good affiliates for the type of products that I'm talking about besides Commission Junction and Amazon that you know of? And the other thing I've done is I've just tried to get my name out there everywhere I can, and the name of my blog through Twitter, through social networking, things like Facebook, and just keep trying to drive traffic there. So am I heading in the right direction, and do you have any additional affiliate suggestions?
Okay, well, first thing you should do is give us your blog address to help with a little bit of promotion.
It's scoutforsuccess.com.
Okay, good. Everyone should remember that who's on these calls. There's a lot of people listening, so you can get a bit of exposure.
Great.
That way. Now, you're targeting small business and entrepreneurship, so obviously that's something I'm quite familiar with, but there's lots of different angles you can take within that topic area, and hopefully over time, or maybe already, you're going to figure out what aspect of small business is really your forte and what your audience starts to come to you for, and that will help to dictate what sort of affiliate promotions you do and hopefully what sort of products you eventually create yourself. So it's hard for me to, you know, just give you a blanket place, you know, go to azugle.com and find affiliate products there. That's not the most helpful advice, because you need to find the type of product that your audience really wants. And until you get to know your audience, start to build your audience over time, it's a bit of a hit and miss process, and you may not have amazing results. I love that you're doing Amazon and writing regular book reviews. That's never going to make you rich unless you get hundreds of thousands of daily readers. But it's a great way to build up a nice foundation of content that sells, and that works over time. You know, writing reviews are fantastic. So I think you're on the right track. The only thing I might say you're doing potentially a little too soon is maybe worrying about the affiliate products you're selling. I don't know what your traffic levels are right now, but usually people jump on the making money bandwagon with too much energy, I guess, before they're putting that energy into marketing. And you know, you can get discouraged sometimes when you don't make sales or you know, really get any result because you're putting this energy into testing different money making programs when you just don't have the audience and you don't know enough about your audience to make those sales. So if anything, I would say maybe you should focus on getting your name out, doing more guest posts on other people's blogs and other websites and newsletters, and focusing on the marketing for a little while. Keep doing those book reviews, because obviously you said you love that. Maybe go to clickbank.com and find some information products there and you know, read a book there that's relevant to small business or entrepreneurship or making money online, and write a review of that one. The commissions there are much higher than what you're going to get from Amazon. information products are always have a higher commission rate and usually sell for more than a physical book. As silly as that might sound, that's just the way the structure has come about. So, ClickBank's a great place to do that kind of research. But really, you need to decide and have your audience tell you what is it that you're going to, really become a specialist at. And that once you know that, it becomes so much easier to write your content and so much easier to find things to sell. And you will sell more because the message to the marketplace is very correlated. You have a very strong connection there. You basically got what people want to buy. But it sounds like you're on the right track.
Thank you very much.
All right, no problem. Okay. My old friend Lee.
Hello, Yaru. I had one quick question, and if need for more questions, I certainly have them. But I was curious where you thought that would be a good place to look on increasing your ability to be more efficient at outsourcing. I've recently been reading into that to some degree and listened to your interview with Tim Ferriss and read the 4-Hour Workweek and have gotten a little bit of an assistant going, but having a little bit of a hard time kind of putting my plans and ideas or needs and action when it comes to how they can help me with blogging and stuff like that. So I wasn't exactly sure if you had any sort of go-to on that.
The number one resource that's helped me in that area, however, it's been more about strategy than necessarily specifics. It won't tell you what aspect of your blogging you should be outsourcing, but what I studied from Rich Sheffrin and his coaching program was great for figuring out what it is you should be doing. And then because you know what you should be doing, you get a whole long list of things that need to get done that you shouldn't be doing. And therefore, you have what you need to outsource. So, I could do that right now and tell you I need to get the copy written for some products I've got coming. I need to get another tech person because the tech works and is getting over the top of the current tech person I have. And these are things I'm not going to do. But Rich is a bit different because he's, business strategy. It's not specifically about outsourcing, but it is a great resource. And, I'm a big fan of what Rich Sheffrin teaches. There are, however, some very specific online courses, training manuals that cover outsourcing. They're not going to be targeted at blogging. They'll be targeted at internet marketing, which is almost the same thing. You can easily apply it. And if you just type into Google, I don't have any right in front of me. I know I've been exposed to a couple of product launches in the recent past that have, things like OutsourceSecretsRevealed.com, that sort of thing. I'm sure you'll find a product there that's all about outsourcing, but, you're going to get the same advice. It'll be great. Go to Rentacoder. Here's, a template you can use and some tricks you can do, like putting in keywords so you get the right people and they're not just, a person who's bulk replying to every job available. But, I guess the best way for me to answer this question is to really ask you, what do you do on a daily basis that's sucking all your time? That's the important question.
Makes sense. So I guess my problem that I'm having is as far as the actual blog content, I want that to be completely original and all me or guest writers that I hire out. So that's not a problem. It's more the kind of tech and background work. And I'm just having a hard time being a boss or a task manager, if that makes
sense. One of the very important people I, in fact, would like to get on board myself in the start of the new year when I return to Australia is what you might call a secondhand man or woman or a manager or something like that. And this person will sort of look after all the roles that you don't want to do and be an over, I don't want to call it an overlord, but look after all the outsourcing jobs for you. I have a person who does my transcriptions. I have a person who, will do my graphic design work. All these things, though, require me to communicate and work with them to get jobs done. I'd like to have a person who acts as my right-hand person. They coordinate those jobs getting done. And this person can do almost everything I can do. That, like you, I want to write my blog content. I want to write my newsletters and I want to create my products. But everything else I don't really want to do. And what I want is, if I need to get an audio transcribed, I want to say, here, right-hand person, here's the audio, here's a link to it. You go handle the finding of the outsourcer or working with the existing outsourcer we have. Once the work is returned to us, you upload it to the website, you send the email out to the list telling people that the transcription is available. So that's completely off my hands. And that's a great role, because that person can really be your manager. You know, in a business sense, that would be your operations manager, not your CEO, but your chief of operations, the other person who's head of the company. And actually, Rich Sheffman's a great example. Michael Saim's another great example. These guys act as the entrepreneurs and the creative people. So they're thinking of new product ideas and perhaps creating product. But their entire business is being run by this manager. So, you know, all the promotions are coordinated by someone else. In the case of Rich, he has a CEO. So, you know, it's certainly an important role, and you might consider doing that. I'm not sure if you're ready for that, though, Lee.
I don't know. You know, it's kind of a liaison between things, and it's something I'm willing to invest in to get it done right, because at this point I'm very overloaded, not necessarily in a bad sense, but just with ideas and versus things I need to do. So I'd be willing to kind of go that extra mile to get a go-between in between those points. To me I think it would be more productive, you know, even though if the upfront cost might be a little bit more or seem a little, wow, you're going to go ahead and hire somebody like that, I can kind of see where it would pay off in the end. So that isn't something I really thought about. So
it's usually not the first thing people hire. You know, from a simple perspective, you write down a list of everything you need to get done and how much of it you don't want to do, and then find people to do it for you, you know. And then you just find different specialists for each job. That's the simple way of getting this done. There's obviously a lot of work involved after the fact, but at least you have the jobs that need to get outsourced in front of you.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, everyone. Not seeing any hands up. I think we've got Gideon on the line now. Gideon, are you there?
I am indeed. Can you hear me?
Okay. Good, we can hear you. Everyone, this is Gideon. You may know him from the becomeablogger.com website. He did the videos there that some of you may have used to help get your blogs originally set up. He's going to be joining us on a few teleconferences just to get used to the technology.
That's right. Yeah, thanks for having me today. It's just acting as a bit of a backup for Yara, because he's calling in from Skype. So if anything goes wrong, I'll try and do my best to fill in the spaces.
And the other problem I might have is a cough, because I'm still just getting over that flu, and in Amsterdam weather is a bit dry air, so I've been getting a very scratchy throat. But anyway, I've got a few more questions, so I'll open up a line.
Yes, Ray, and you know, can you have any quick tips on, again, the service to make it, you know, local? I know that, you know, well, like I said, I'd like to put video in there. And I know you want to put the keywords in there, but do you have any other tips just to grab local business? Thank you.
It's really about keywords. I used to run a proofreading business, and I just used the cities that I wanted to target. So I'd use, you know, Toronto, Brisbane, Sydney, wherever I was focusing on getting clients from, I'd use those keywords in articles I wrote. And that's a great way to get, you know, some local traffic. That's certainly one of the most important ways. You know, the great thing about Google, it tends to figure out what is local and what isn't. I guess I should ask you, what are you doing so far to target local traffic?
I actually, what's working best right now is we have some companies that they just send us traffic. They send us customers. We pay them per lead, and they send us people that are interested in ductwork or cleaning or so on and so forth. And so, because we've done the yellow pages and that doesn't work, and we do some local flyers and stuff like that. But I really want to focus more on using online to collect leads and move forward.
Well, you know,
like I said, with videos, I'm studying, you know, video creation, and I see that video is one of the fastest ways to get the search engine optimization. So I'd like to create some how-to videos and then have them point back to the site or the blog.
And I just recommend using the keywords and the tags for the local areas you're trying to target. That's always going to do the best for you in terms of getting local results. And like I said, Google will figure a lot of this out for you. There are, you know, if you could blanket a certain city and use that keyword, in every article you produce, and you're going to get results for that.
Okay, that's an idea. I hadn't thought about that. That's what I like to do because I want to tighten it up so that I'm not driving all over the place. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Next caller.
Hey, R.O. Michigan. I'm double dipping since nobody had their hand up. back to what I talked to Lee about. I think I'm kind of in the same boat with you guys where it's like I kind of need some help. And I really would like, is there any place to really like look for guidance? It's like I almost need a team. Like one of the things I've been offered is a radio show. I don't even know how to read this contract. I mean, do I get a lawyer on retention? I mean, I don't even really want to do the radio show. I just want to write about college football. But, if it's going to help, I would use it as a marketing tool to get people to my blog, and then maybe I'll actually sell them something. But, is there like a layout, like a basic plan to follow as far as, I thought of the same idea, get a manager, because I've been asked to join a network of blogs, or to build a network of blogs that, kind of like you start with a forum and then my college football blog goes in, then I build a pro football blog that goes in, then a baseball, boxing, Formula One race, everything that goes in, so that forum will feed all the rest of those blogs. We're talking like a giant, well beyond the realm of just my little college football thing, It's like,
I think you might just want to be careful how much you take on, Mitch. Look for the low-hanging fruit, pick the best opportunities, and go for those ones. You're going to have to say no to some things. If everything's exploding that much for you, you've got to keep the core value that you provide going out there. So you got to keep blogging. Maybe take on the radio show, but say no to starting all these other blogs. Or go crazy. Hire a bunch of people, get some investment capital, hire a person to hire people for you. And you can go nuts with this, but it's really how fast you want to grow, how many hours you want to work. What's your vision for what you're trying to produce?
Yeah, I think it's just a little overwhelming. And it's like, I don't even know what type of speed bumps I'm going to come in. It's just like this overwhelming amount of information coming in every single day now. It's far beyond just, writing a post and throwing it out there now.
Well, congratulations for the success. You're reaching that point where you've just got to decide what you're going to go for. And, when I face those situations, I sort of look internally and ask myself, what am I going to have to do in order to realize those opportunities? Do I want to do those things? Can I outsource some of it? Do I want to manage the outsourcing of those things? So, Rich Sheffrin is another person who might be perfect for your situation since you're growing so much. You might want to check out his business growth system. That's a good course to go through.
All right, thanks. It's just, I never expected it. So, I kind of wasn't prepared for it either. I guess maybe if you grow slowly, maybe it's a good thing.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what you and Lee in particular end up doing, especially in the next few months. It'd be great for you guys to come back and tell us how you're going.
Because honestly, when I heard her interview, I heard exactly my same story, where it's like everywhere she's going, she's working on her blog. She just has no time at all outside of, working on her blog and then doing her other stuff. And it's like, at some point, you'd think that it died down, but it's actually we're both probably in, the same sort of thing where it's just a growth stage. And, that's why we joined the course in the first place. So, okay.
Well, congratulations.
I don't want to hijack your call.
No problem.
Let the other guys get in.
Okay. Now, I'm going to have to, folks, I'm getting an itchy throat, so I do apologize if I start coughing here. There's a lot of hands up. So, like I said, I'm still getting over the flu, and I think I've reached the end of my talking point here, but we'll keep moving. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hi. Sorry to hear that the flu's been hanging on so long.
It's just an itchy throat.
Yeah. It takes a while to shake those things off. Anyway, this is Rhonda. I'm a seven pitfalls post on Entrepreneur's Journey inspired me to ask this. Actually, it was great timing because I'm getting ready to go on vacation with my husband. But as you know, you got to keep that blog going. So I don't have a laptop. I mentioned this on the comments section, and my plan is to sneak down to the Hotel Business Center and maybe do a little promoting, maybe, you know, deploy some posts. How would you suggest, besides clearing the history, that I can do that securely on a borrowed computer?
I wouldn't work to clear your history. Make sure you log out, obviously, at the end of every, you know, email or blogging session. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been using Gmail and Netcafes all around the world, and that's not been a problem. You know, blogging, as long as WordPress is quite secure, there's always an element of risk, no matter what you do online, if you're not on a secure line. But, you know, there's an element of risk when you use an ATM to take money out and someone saying your password. So there's not much you can do about it besides, you know, take the necessary precautions and then hope you're not one of the very, very unlucky few that gets hit by something like identity fraud or something like that. But put it this way, it's not something that's keeping me up at night. I'm not too worried about that at all. The only thing I don't do is online banking unless it's on a secure network, like not Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I didn't plan on doing any online shopping, just maybe do a little, posting around in different forums and just
Fine doing that. You'd be
leaving
fine.
Mate and maybe posting onto my blog. So, okay, that'll be great.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't worry about that. And I'd prepare in advance, you know, get your Gmail going, go to another computer and log into WordPress so you understand how that process works and then have some fun.
Great. Thank you so much.
No problem. All right, moving down. I think this is Charles.
Hi, this is Charles from Hawaii.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, how's it going? I have kind of a general question, Yaro, about the future of blogging, maybe like the industry or the potential for blogging in the next 1 to 3 years. Do you see is it still sustainable? I mean, is it still something that people are going to be able to build and make an income from?
Definitely. And, you know, I've had this question a couple of times. It's sort of like asking, are websites going to go away? And, okay, there's a chance the internet, you know, let's say our energy crisis happens and the internet falls down. I don't ever see that happening. Well, it could, but, you know, that's obviously a much bigger problem than just not being able to blog. So I think what you're going to see is an evolution of what a website is, and that's what a blog has been to what an old static website was. So, you know, that's why they call it Web 2.0. It's just a new series of features that have made websites more interactive. Now, we're going to see a continuation of that, but, you know, people have always communicated with words. People have always communicated with, but ever since we've had television and that sort of medium, we've had visual communication. And that's not going to change. There's going to be enhancements. There's going to be improvements. There's going to be new ways of doing things. There's going to be, you know, another Twitter program or another YouTube that comes along and more ways to use these tools. But fundamentally, we're talking about content publishing. And that hasn't changed for, you know, many years. It's just evolved. So I think as long as you're blogging and staying on top of, the basics, you know, you're going to be fine. I wouldn't be worried about that.
So I guess also, I mean, there certainly is going to be some kind of, shakedown. And, you know, if say 10 million people are blogging, I mean, is there room for everyone?
Of course there is, because the myriad of niches available are as vast as the number of people on the internet. You know, not everyone can be profitable, not everyone can succeed, but it's never going to be a case of saturation. There'll be situations where, you know, some people will stop doing it because other people are doing a better job. But that's the nature of life. You know, no matter what, if you're a professional athlete, it's always, you know, the best at the sport. And, you know, you may decide to give up because of that. But I don't think it's going to be a point of saturation because everyone is blogging. Simply, and that's like saying we're never going to have new authors of books because every book has been written. That's never going to happen.
Right, right. Well, it seems like a lot of people are blogging about things that are internet marketing and blogging, and there's just so many people repeating information that it's becomes a challenge to find a voice out there sometimes.
Yeah, and you've got to watch the bubble there where you're existing only within your little bubble, and you only see the same thing over and over again because you travel around the same channels, and you sort of miss what's going on outside of that. Try and ignore what's not relevant and focus on what you're trying to do. That's the most important thing.
Okay. Well, thanks, Yaro.
No problem.
I can also perhaps add something, Yaro, if that's cool. I think, you know, it also depends. It could depend on the type of industry or niche that you're focusing on. And I mean, we have seen a significant, you know, growth in blogging, and you know, it's like I think three new blogs every 2 seconds is something that's created at the moment. So there's heaps of blogs being created. So the competition, I would say, in some niches at least, would be increasing, even though there'd be people that'd be falling out along the line. But I mean, all that means really is that you've got to up your game, and you know, all the tools are being created and are pretty much ready there for you right now to really stand out from everyone else. And so instead of just doing text, for example, you could look at some other multimedia options, and then using social media to help you extend and make yourself look better than the guy next to you.
Yeah, right. Well, thanks. Thank you.
That was Gideon, everyone, in case you're wondering who that was. Moving on, there's a couple more hands up. Thanks, Charles, for your question.
Hi, Yaro. It's Jim and Christine in New Jersey again with the House Talkers blog. And it's just a quick, you know, we're kind of early in the process. We're getting our posts up and some pillar articles and still working through some of your recommended plugins, that stuff. So just a quick question on that. Do you know about the RSS footer plugin? And also there's something called All-in-One SEO Pack, which seems similar to TitleTag.
Yes, the All-in-One SEO plugin is the SEO TitleTag plugin and a few other plugins. The reason why I didn't use that, I think, for our members, because I had a few different plugins already doing like sitemaps and so forth. So I didn't need to install that one, but it's good. It's certainly, you know, you could install that instead of the SEO title tag plugin because you're going to get the SEO title tag plugin with that already. I recommend the SEO title tag because I think the most important element is your title, right, and always will be. So it's easier just to focus on that one plugin, and especially for people who are a little bit scared of the WordPress interface, it's learning one thing at a time rather than three or four plugins at a time. But certainly it's a great plugin. The RSS footer one, do you mean as in you can include something within the footer of your RSS feed?
That I had some other notes on it, and I apologize. I think that's why I was asking you. I might have to do a little more research on that.
I do use I'm not sure the exact name of it, but it does apply. Well, basically, it's how I give away a free ebook, which is an encouragement to get people to subscribe to my RSS feed. It's how to earn your first $1,000 online, I think. And that ebook is only available if you subscribe to the RSS feed. And I use that RSS footer plugin to distribute that the link to the book. So that's one thing you can use with that, or you could just, you know, put an advertisement there, something like that. There's all kinds of other services. If you use textlinkads.com, they have a plugin that lets you include links in your RSS feed as well. And you can control all kinds of things like that. There's plugins to do absolutely everything, and you can just drown in the ideas that it gives you, but you just got to be careful that you don't spend all your time playing with plugins.
Well, makes sense.
No problem.
Thanks.
I think we've got Lee on the line again.
Here, really quick question. I was looking, I'm also planning on, I'm not sure exactly when, but I'm planning on launching a membership site to be a part of my site or a part of something bigger later on. And I wanted to join or look at your membership site mastermind. And I was actually just having a hard time finding entry and or curious if there was even entry into that right now. And if not, then what do you recommend for that, if not through the greatness of you?
There is entry. You're right, though. There's not an easy way to get in. There's no actual website for that, mainly because the program is still in beta and haven't released that properly. Just simple answer, though. They just give me an email, and I can give you a way in. Since you're already a member of Blog Mastermind, it's generally what I do is I give people a chance to just roll over once they complete Blog Mastermind. If they want to continue to train with me, if a membership site is something they're interested in, then you can just continue paying a monthly fee and go into Blog Mastermind. But it's a bit different now. Some of you are prepaid. You've already paid all up front. So just send an email to support@blogmastermind.com and we can get you in based on whatever membership type you already have within Blog Mastermind.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you.
No problem. Okay, we've almost hit the hour. I really want to apologize. Ironically, they won't hear me, but all the people who haven't made it onto the call, I will increase the capacity on the line. Now that I know this service is quite reliable, I'm going to make the room capable of taking more people. But I'll send that out in an email so that everyone knows. I'll take a couple more questions since my throat seems to be okay and I can talk without feeling like I have to cough. So if you have any last-minute questions before I wrap up this call, we've almost hit an hour. Star 9, usual way to ask a question. And no, I don't think I'm seeing anything. All right. All right, what I'm going to do now, everyone, is no one's asking any questions, so I'm going to wrap it up. I'm just going to quickly unmute the line. If anyone has any feedback on the quality of this system, I just want to make sure everyone's happy with the teleconference provider, so I'll continue to use it. And just you're welcome to say goodbye as well, and I'll wrap up the call. But thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm going to schedule another teleconference for next week, and I will increase the capacity of the line so everyone can get on. And, of course, I'll send out some emails to give you some warning. The time will change, though. We've got some people from around the world, and they can't always make the evening or afternoon Eastern Standard Time calls, so we'll do a morning one. That's it for me, but here's an unmute.
Thanks, Yarrow. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
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 Conference call is fine.
Good. Great. Thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next call. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya. All right.
See ya.
The moderator has disconnected. The call will now end.